We continue our study of the Good News in 7 Ones with Lesson 7 entitled, The One Faith's Teaching About Church Leaders. Does gender matter when choosing worship leaders? We should read all of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and if you do, you will see that Paul is addressing the abuse of spiritual gifts. They were wanting to use it to make themselves look good rather than use these gifts to admonish the church. In 1 Corinthians 14, he's speaking of the worship assembly of the saints when the whole congregation had come together. And in this, he's speaking about those who speak and their attitude toward speaking and the result. And in the middle of speaking about the misuse of tongues, he also addresses whether a woman should speak in the assembly or not, as he's dealing with those who are addressing the audience. And so we're going to read, beginning in verse 23 down to verse 37 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Paul continues his talk about tongues and says, "Therefore, if the whole church come together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say, 'You're out of your mind'? But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation? Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speak in a tongue, let there be two or at most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent, for you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and that all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." So if someone has the miraculous ability given by the Holy Spirit in the early church in those days to speak in tongues, they're only to do it if there's those there that can hear in that language or there's translators. So to be able to speak in a tongue that no one can understand is not God's purpose. God's purpose is to encourage the unbeliever that is hearing. If another man is speaking, then the man who has the ability has to wait his turn, at most two or three. So there's times that a man in the worship setting is not to speak, and that's while another man is speaking, or if what he is trying to say is in a language that no one can understand. And so we're talking about doing things decently and in order and doing things so that the people in the audience can hear and understand and praise God. As he's in the middle of this discussion about those who speak in the assembly, he says, "Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in the church." And so he addresses when men should speak, one at a time, as long as what they have to say can be heard and understood by those in the audience. And when should a woman speak during the worship assembly? And he says, never. And then he says, "Or did the word of God come originally from you, or was it you only that it reached?" In other words, you're doing things that the word of God does not permit. So did God reveal something special to you that he didn't reveal to somebody else? Obviously, the answer is no. "If anyone think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. What I'm speaking to you came from the Lord. What you're doing is not. So do you think you have authority to make changes that God didn't give to everybody else?" And then he says, "But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak in tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order." In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, Paul addresses the role of women before he talks about the qualifications of elders. And he says there in 1 Timothy 2:12 through 14, I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now, man here is in reference to an adult male. So the woman is not to teach the adult male or to have authority over the adult male, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. So the speakers, the leaders, are to be adult males. The woman is not to have authority over the adult male, nor to be the teacher of the adult male. That doesn't mean that a woman cannot teach a young boy. We're talking about an adult male here. The women are not to teach or usurp authority over the man, as we read in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 35, and 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. This teaching is from epistles and letters of the Apostle Paul, written according to the wisdom given unto him from God. His epistles are called Scripture by Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 16. This means that they are God-breathed and a part of the one faith. So gender does matter when we're choosing worship leaders for the assembly of the saints. But does gender matter when we're choosing people to be in the position of an elder or a deacon in the church? Let's read the qualifications of elders and deacons from 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 through 13 says, "This is a faithful saying. If a man desire the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife." A man, and man there means adult male, desiring the position of a bishop, must be the husband of one wife. So that lets us know for sure that it is an adult male. And so as we continue these qualifications, it says a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent nor greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report among those that are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise, deacons. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested, let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives, showing again that it must be an adult male who would hold the office of a deacon. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house well, for those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And so we see that as we're making selections for those to be in the office of an elder or in the office of a deacon, then we must select from adult males who are married. Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, Paul writes to Titus and gives him the same type of instructions about elders and deacons. He says, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convince those who contradict." And so again, when you're selecting the man to be in this office of elder, which is also called the bishop, so elder or bishop or pastor are all the same office, We're talking about an adult male who's married and has had children. And so elders are bishops, and deacons are to be adult males, to be men, husbands of one wife.